Arr, grog.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cider Shed podcast. I'm Matthew Weir. I'm joined by Kerry Warbis. Kerry, for many people, we had a week off last week.
We did, yes. That's those who aren't Patreons, really, isn't it?
Yeah, patrons have heard from us twice since then. They're probably like, oh, God, these two again? But yeah. For the rest of you, yeah, you had a week off, so we're back. We did actually go on to Patreon and fill in the blanks of what we missed. We were a completist in that sense.
It was a good week to have off, I think, archers-wise.
We said that we felt it was kind of a preemptive week, wasn't it? It was a week where things were building, but not much was happening. Eye of the storm stuff. But this week, a lot more. What we're going to do is we're going to have a little break, and then we're going to talk about that wonderful, what was it? Egg and spoon Easter egg hunt relay race.
It was the Easter egg and spoon egg hunt relay race, hide and hunt egg race team relay competition.
Or as it's known as an acronym, EASER.
Very odd, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And George is involved.
Let's have a little break and then we'll talk about it.
All right, you lot. You're all cordially invited to the latest Easter egg competition cooked up by the fevered mind of the Bulls Power duo, Kenton and Jolene Archer. So let's go over the rules of the oldest horse, archaeological time capsule caravan, road maze, renew fashion parkour in the pub, pizza polytunnel egg challenge. Firstly, place your egg on the spoon, then mount the oldest horse you can find and ride it to Brookfield. Use the metal detector you'll find handily under your horse and use it to locate 10 Roman coins dated between 55 BC and 300 AD. Once you have your coins, bury them in a time capsule, along with Kenton's old wank mags of Susie Quattro and a photo of Justin dressed as a daffodil. It must be buried directly under a message in a bottle asking for a guitar for Christmas. Then tether your old horse to Jill and Leonard's shagging caravan and ride towards Lower Loxley while misdirecting your opponents by messing with the temporary road signs. In the grounds of Lower Loxley, you must joust against Cranford Crystal in order to win the renewed fashion suit of armour. Then head to the polytunnels to bake a wild garlic and banana pizza while completing 8 parkour challenges. Place your egg atop the pizza and ride over Lakey Hill and back to the Bull before Kenton has finished changing the signage to the beer Ambridge. Then in the second round, exchange your regular egg for a chocolate egg and seek out Rex on his narrow boat.
Oh, for fuck's sake, mate.
Badger! Navigate the boat towards Ambridge Hall.
Here comes Badger!
Look at him go! He's even brought Champion the Porky Pony with him for work experience.
Cheers, Badger.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So it was a bit like Death Race 2000, this thing, wasn't it, Kerry? Because you had George evil-eyeing Uncle Chris because Chris had found him accused of creating a thirst trap online. Not quite sure how that works. It was just a farrier clumping horseshoes into a horse. I don't know who's getting bandy about that.
Well, he wanted to stick it to Jolene for barring him. He wanted to stick it to Hannah and stick it to Uncle Chris.
Yeah.
All quite aggressive language, wasn't it?
Surely spoon it.
Yeah. But like, he was so determined to win this because he wanted to take Tilly Button to Grey Gables for the luxury one night at the hotel. Did Tilly Button have any say in this, do you think?
No, he's got it bad for her though, hasn't he? Because she came over his house once, the place where him and Will live, where Hannah used to live. Is it number one, The Green? I can't remember. So he kicked Brad out all of a sudden. They were having a quality evening of PlayStation.
Oh, yeah.
He kicked him out because Tilly Button was coming over, and in the end, she just wanted guinea pig beauty tips or something.
Yeah, didn't she want her guinea pig to have a haircut or something?
Or her little sister's guinea pig or something, yeah.
Yeah. Is that all that's happened between them, though?
Yeah, I mean, he's got a thing for the Button sisters, hasn't he? But clearly Tilly is the one that's top of the list. Do you think she'll end up on Mike?
Oh, dear. Well, that won't please George, will it?
Not Mike Tucker.
Well, it'd be nice if the Button sisters featured more, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
I don't see that she would be that attracted to him unless he changes his ways a lot. He didn't even win the raffle either, did he? Because Miranda won that.
Yeah, she won the bubbly. Talking about characters that are off mic, Sabrina got a telling off from Jolene, didn't she, during the egg race? You're going to have to go all the way back to the beginning, Sabrina. And normally any normal human being would say, oh, go fuck yourself, Jolene.
Yes.
But because she's not on mic, she didn't have the mental dexterity or the audio with which to do it.
Yeah, I enjoyed Jolene and Lillian in tandem, one on the tannoy and one spotting cheaters. So they spotted that George had used chewing gum to stick his egg on his spoon because Eddie was encouraging him to cheat.
Great role model, isn't he?
I know. Void round.
And at the end of tonight, he starts banging on about Johnny Morris. I mean,
the Cider Shed legal department has removed this part of the recording. Move on. There's nothing to see here.
So George had gummed his egg on Eddie's advice, got busted. Jolene brings the house down on him. Void round, pushes this button. I imagine like the floor of the green just makes way and they all fall onto spikes when that happens.
Under Kenton construction. I mean, how many people were there? I'm always baffled by this. I know you have like strange goings-ons in your dad's village and what have you. Loads of odd activities on the notice board.
Are you making fun of the swan run, Kerry?
I'm simply describing what happened. Were there Easter activities at your dad's village that you know of?
While we're here, I'll just have a quick flick through.
And would he have got involved?
No.
This is my thing. Like, oh, right, okay.
God, no. Fallon said, should we go for a pint with our teammates, the Horribins? And he went, no, I think they ate us after that, love. Just imagine, like, Harrison just fell face forward into a bunch of chocolate or something.
Distracted by some wildlife. Or yeah. Grass or trees.
A chocolate bunny. Oh, look at that. It's a rare brown bunny, Fallon. Don't move. You're scary.
I've never really looked at an egg this close up. He's such a mentalist, isn't he? Honestly, so many times during this bloody week, it's just like, well, this is why you're in trouble. I liked how Harrison thought that the prize at Grey Gables was a six in a bed affair.
Yeah.
As well.
Brian, Miranda, Justin, Lillian, Oliver, Bartleby.
Yeah, only Lillian really understood the rules as well, didn't she, of the silly old game?
I think so. Everyone else was just running around completely confused. Martha was helping herself to all the chocolate eggs at the beginning, wasn't she? And all I could think was, yeah. They haven't told Rosie about this event, have they, clearly?
Yeah. Jolene, darling, all the chocolate eggs have gone missing.
And then Pip's like, Rosie, where are you?
Oh, Chris won the night at Grey Gables, didn't he? Will we find out who he shares that with, I wonder?
Well, George is doing his nut about that. So imagine if it ends up being Hannah. He's going to do something awful like itching powder or something, isn't he?
Would Chris invite Hannah, though?
I've got family fun, exciting Easter. Come and join us for a range of exciting Holy Week activities. Children, please bring a family grown-up with you.
Okay.
Doesn't really say what it involves. And coming soon, in May, the Swanvolution.
Fucking hell, this is so Archers.
Journey through time along a pushchair-friendly trail around our beautiful village and spot some historical swans along the way.
Hysterical.
Ice creams. Swan selfie competition.
Oh my God.
Teas and cakes. every map gets a prize.
What? Every map? Well,
family prize Easter bingo.
Maps suddenly became involved. Why?
I think they give you a map to complete.
It's very wholesome, isn't it? And bizarre.
Easter holiday camps? That sounds quite... The image is a bunny appearing from behind an egg with a tennis racket, but it looks for all the world like he's about to kick the shit out of you.
Why has it got a tennis racket?
I don't know, maybe that's one of the activities. Games, matches, prizes, competition, in singular, skills. What does that mean? Easter egg hunt.
Did George write this?
And
skills, slay.
And just finally, not Easter related, but coming soon, Kerry, the 24-hour ploughing challenge.
That sounds rude.
It does, doesn't it?
Is your dad doing that?
I hope not. Not with his knees.
24-hour ploughing.
Yeah.
What, do people go and watch?
See you from 2 p.m. here. And there's a little point underneath. Where? Question mark. The first field opposite the old passage. This is all prison code, isn't it? What's going on here? God, I had a bit of 24-hour ploughing last night up the old passage.
I can't believe people go and watch the ploughing. Are they mad? And that's just one tiny village in this country.
Those things happen.
Take it all back, the archers. You're actually perfectly reflecting English society.
One of the things that came out of this weekend, because it was all a bit of a battle for Jolene to get there and do it. At one point, she had a crisis of confidence, didn't she? And she was asking Lillian, I think you'll have to take over. But Lillian kind of helped her push on through. But that didn't last very long, did it? Because we had Jolene post-egg race cracking up under pressure from Robert and Emma on Monday.
Well, yeah. And she just went, I just want some peas to Lillian, didn't she?
Are they short of side dishes in the kitchen?
This is what has been troubling her all this time. I just want some peas. Also, Miranda still is called Miranda Elliott, isn't she? Even though they divorced ages ago.
Yeah. I
wonder what her previous name was. Yeah, she did crack up. Poor old love. I was relieved when all of that came to an end.
And she finally told Kenton as well.
Yes. That was interesting because he didn't realise that the threatening that had happened was in person. He thought it was like over the phone or something, didn't he?
I felt that she neglected to tell him that he'd come to the Bull while Kenton was still in hospital. When her car alarm went off, she didn't tell him that bit, did she?
Oh, no, she didn't. She just said about the supermarket. He's like, what? He just pulled up a chair, did he? He did, yeah, basically. But Kenton, his response to it was, well, I now understand why you've been in turmoil all this time. And how about me and you take on managing the pub tonight behind the bar together? And you could hear Jolene's voice shift and change. And she was very, very happy about that. They were back together at the tiller.
Yeah, Kenton's obviously on the mend because he went down to the cellar to change a barrel of Shires and he came back up and took a pint over to Neville. Who was Jolene serving while he was taking Neville's pint over, though, Kerry? Someone who we said recently, we don't think they'd be in it anymore, but they got a mention. God. Joy and Mick.
Was it?
Yeah, Mick was in the pub.
Oh, fuck.
Presumably the panic alarm is for when he starts talking about his roadieing days with Status Quo.
Yes, the police had offered this panic alarm, and she's also got a hotline. If she dials 999, it's actually answered within 4 hours instead of the 8 that's for normal people.
You get straight through to Harrison, who's 7 daiquiris deep.
God, Harrison. When Fallon was all, she had a really good voice on, didn't she? A sort of naughty voice. And had made the daiquiris, had prepared dinner, and there was like, I think was there music on in the background? And he went, what's all this in aid of? I thought, this is why you are a shit policeman, Harris. You don't know why she's done this. Oh, the clues are there, love. You were in a disciplinary earlier today. Yeah. That went okay.
He's probably worried that, like, his written final warning means no more sex as well.
And it's for 2 years, this final written warning.
He's going to balls that up, isn't he?
That's very long, isn't it, for Harrison?
Yeah.
To not mess up at all.
What did you make of the hearing itself?
Okay, there were several people. It was a panel, wasn't it? There was a barrister. There was Odette Callender.
Yep.
Who was the panel chair. Mr. Ramirez was an independent panel member. A superintendent who was representing the police. Then there was a Mrs. Cromwell. Was she another barrister or something? She was
police.
Standards, police standards. Yeah, she kept interrupting Harry when he was first pulled up. He was like trying to put a good word in for Harrison, but she just kept going, and it's been an invasion of privacy and it's had a detrimental impact on your life, hasn't it? And before he even had a chance, and your reputation was damaged.
Yes. Can I just say, Mrs. Cromwell, that I think that Harrison is actually a wonderful human being. Complete bastard, Mr. Chilcott. Yes, I agree. And he was only doing what was right. And breaking all the rules and probably killing kittens as well, Mr. Chilcott. I rest my case.
Fallon was not happy, was she, with Harry's first effort?
No.
And Alice was like, I think he was trying. Then Harry was called again and swiftly accepted all responsibility. It was all my fault. I put pressure on him. I know why he did this. It was to protect Alice and her family. And the panel straight away accepted that the information was disclosed due to his concern for other people.
Yeah, one thing that I had never really taken into consideration before in all of this, that Harrison had gone into Harry's historical records and had then gone to the pub and said, hey, I've seen this has happened and this has happened, this has happened. So it was a little more than him just going to Alice and being like, hey, I picked your boyfriend up for being drunk and disorderly the other night. It was also, I've gone in and found out he had a driving ban and stuff. Because I think when I talked about it, I failed to mention that. And that obviously was a factor in it because that was what Harry said. Well, it's not public record, is it? So you can't share things like that. So he did have a point there.
Yeah, because they said he disclosed personal data recorded on the police national computer, which sounded like there's just one computer somewhere for all of the police to use.
That is, that's how it works.
Where is it? It just so happens to be in Umbridge.
Yeah. And in the end, Harrison he's got a final written warning, hasn't he? He's got 2 years to not balls things up, which he obviously will. I was expecting him to immediately balls things up with the dog report, the marquee thing. And he'd be like, oh, bugger.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd be like, you're fired.
Yeah.
The next day out on his fucking ear.
What I really wanted him to do was when he'd got let off was sort of immediately say to Fallon, what I'd really like to do, love, is go even more part-time. Is that okay? It'll lessen the chances of me breaking warning. He's not going to manage this, is he? No way.
The recurring theme is that he ends up leaving the force and like all ex-70s policemen, he ends up running the bull when it becomes too much for his mother-in-law. But we shall see. I like the way Harry was kind of expecting to be able to be high-fived in the car park immediately after the court case. Like that wouldn't look dodgy.
Yeah, because Alice sort of went, there's Harry over there. And Harrison and Fallon went, yeah, we're a bit tired anyway. Bye. Pocket off straight away. There was a brief conversation between Harry and Alice, wasn't there? And then the next day, Harry was sniffing again and he was picking up Borchester Blue, even though he hadn't been feeling very well. He was nauseous and he hasn't felt like eating. So the first thing you think of when you're feeling sick and not eating is to buy some blue cheese, isn't it? And Alice agreed to drive him to the doctor. Again, a strange scene with an audience.
Yeah, there was, funnily enough, the official write-up of the Archers episode said at the end, Dr. Malick says that Harry will need help, which Alice foolishly agrees to give. So even they're like, don't do it, the people that are writing the bloody show.
Alice wanted to leave the room. He made her stay. That was annoying. Then Dr. Malick would try to say something and Alice kept chipping in as if she was more of an expert on the whole bloody thing. And I know, you know, you might know about liver trouble, Alice, for obvious reasons, but let the GP speak.
The only thing that you needed extra was Mrs. Cromwell would have burst in and started interrupting Harry as well.
And also they seemed surprised and shocked that he might have some scarring of the liver, which was a bit weird.
The conversation where Alice goes over to visit Eve, I had always assumed anyway that the drinking had followed his accident and his inability to event anymore. You thought maybe he had the accident because he was drunk. And then we heard tonight that the whole reason that his niece has poor Sadie in the stables, the impaled one, was because he bought it to butter up his sister because he got drunk at his sister's birthday and balls things up. So he bought that for his niece. I forgot the name of the niece, but I remember the horse is called Sadie, isn't it?
Oh, it wasn't Kimberly, was it? That was some other horse-related person.
No, it wasn't Kimberly. That was Bartleby's original owner.
Yeah, Badger.
Badger!
Yeah, the Eve meeting was very interesting, I thought. Also, actually, Harry said the increased drinking was since the breakdown of his relationship. I thought, you twat, saying that in front of Alice. But then people on Twitter have said, not this relationship, the previous one. But I thought it was about Alice. Did you?
The previous one, this Bryony character. She said that she tried to hang in there for as long as possible, but in the end she couldn't do it. It was massively damning by his mum, wasn't it? Just saying that we've given him every opportunity and he's always let us down, and said that he's been deceitful, embarrassing, insulting. And I was like, well, yeah, we've been listening to him for 3 months, Eve. We know that.
As soon as he turned up.
He wasn't even pissed then.
Yeah. And they're not in a position to help him anymore. And Alice was like, how could you turn your back on your child? I could never do that to Martha. And you think, well, Martha's about four and you haven't spent years of having to deal with her hideous behaviour, apart from that Easter egg thing.
Alice is going to be his buddy until he finds a proper buddy. This is a recipe for disaster, isn't it?
Yep, totally. She should not be doing this at all, I don't think.
Meanwhile, her dad is waking up on Monday morning with Miranda in bed next to him.
Yes, that was good, wasn't it?
It's a tough week for the cider shed. You had to listen to Brian and Miranda waking up. I've had Fallon trying to get it on with Harrison tonight.
I didn't mind the Brian thing. It was lovely. It was so, they'd polished off a bottle of bubbly the night before. They're having a whale of a time, aren't they? She better bloody behave with him, though. If she pisses him off and, you know, like Justin's worried that she's using Brian to just as a plaything.
I don't think Justin's that worried about it. I think he actually is just a little bit more jealous and would rather not see her face.
He doesn't like that this is all being rubbed in his face. Yeah. It's right under his nose, isn't it? Which is quite fun.
Genius idea of his to go around and pretend he wants to go camping.
Can you imagine?
Where are you going camping? And he was like, oh, south of France, Black Forest, I don't know. Just started ramping.
Anywhere?
Yeah, out in Mongolia?
Camber Sands, don't know. And he was like, yes, 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 nothing finer than waking up under canvas. Pathetic. And then quickly just shifted and was like, are you really serious about this Brian thing? And Miranda's having fun, isn't she?
I hope so. She had a little chuckle to herself.
What, the happy putting?
Yeah, happy putting. She said, like, you know, you'll be seeing a lot more of me around the village. So he's going to have to hold himself up in the dower house. Lillian's kind of made her peace with it.
I don't know about that.
Well, more so than he has.
Yes, that's true. Miranda said that Brian has matured well, like a very fine wine. Justin definitely did say, he was like, and so you fancy him, do you? So that is like coming from a place of jealousy, isn't it? Him and Brian have often been rivals.
His interrogation of Brian, wasn't it, when he was trying to figure out which meals they'd been having together. And he was like, what, breakfast followed by dinner? And he goes, yeah, well, that's the customary order of things. He's like, and in the intervening period, she was here? And he's like, yes, Justin, we've been fucking shagging, you get it? Like, she had dinner,
yes.
We stayed over, we got it on.
24-hour ploughing.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Don't be late.
24-hour ploughing. The best bit was when Justin was in there wanting to play golf and went, what's that familiar smell? And Brian went, well, I have been scrambling some eggs. I was like, no, no, no. It's the scent of Miranda. Ooh. I love that stuff. There should have been much more of that and much less egg hunt.
What's funny is the actual name of Miranda's scent is scrambled eggs. It's a œuf de toilette.
Oh, very good. Œuf de parfum.
You see the episode of Bottom where he's trying to impress someone and brings her back to his apartment, Rick Mayo, and he goes, oh, nothing's just my little pomme de terre.
I don't like Bottom. No, I've tried.
Really? Not even the episode where the gas man comes round with Brian Glover living next door?
No, it's all, no, not my, didn't do it for me, no.
Did you like The Young Ones?
Yes.
Isn't it just a continuation of The Young Ones in style of humour?
No.
It is, Kerry. It's just people.
It isn't.
It's just Rick Mayall and Adrian Edmondson hitting each other with some like,
oh, well,
they're jokes
not as good when it's just the two of them. No, not for me.
I was listening to the reunion on Radio 4 a few years ago, and they had a bunch of the people that were involved in The Young Ones. So Alexis Sale was there, Nigel Planer, Lisa Mayer, who was one of the writers. Mm. The guy that played Mike.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's never watched a single episode of it.
Oh, he's dead, isn't he? Is that why?
I don't think so. Are you confusing him with Rick Mayall, Kerry?
No, the little Mike man, he's dead.
Is he?
Yeah, I can remember it happening.
Christopher Ryan.
I didn't know what his name was, actually. But
no, he's alive, 74 years old.
Badger!
No!
You're full of shit, Kerry. I don't know why I even believe
I was convincing
you.
Then, was
yeah, not really. I'd have to
I actually was convincing because I believed it.
Poor old Christopher Ryan, very much alive.
Oh, no.
74 years young. But yeah, he was saying that he's never... He's also in Bottom as a character called Mikey Hedgehog. He's never watched an episode of Bottom either. He said that he's a little bit older than all of the cast. And he always just, it was a job. He went in, he acted, and he walked back out again. And he's never watched it. But that's quite common with some actors, isn't it? Like, they don't watch their own work. They kind of let other people do it and report back on them.
There was an interview with an actress recently. I think it was on Instagram, where they were really like, how did you get into the role? And all that emotion and stress. And she just went, I'm an actor. I read the lines and I've been to acting school.
When Olivia Colman took on the role of the Queen in The Crown, at the same time in tandem, you had Helena Bonham Carter playing Princess Margaret. Helena Bonham Carter went full method, watched hundreds of hours of Princess Margaret and devoured everything she could. And she said Olivia Colman was just like, action, I'll be the Queen. Just like, didn't give a shit. Just went in and did it. She's good, got no method. Just walk in,
yeah.
Do it. I mean, they asked Harrison Ford when Star Wars came back. One of the American talk show hosts said, did you get emotional when you put the outfit back on? He went, no, I got paid.
Oh, that's what the Adam actor says, isn't it?
Oh, he says that as well. Yes, just a job, isn't it? Or did he say just a log? I may have misheard. Brian was going off for lunch with Ian, Adam and Xander, wasn't he, on Easter Monday?
Just the four of you. Is it just the four of you? Anyone else?
Yeah, Justin, he's desperate, isn't he?
I was just very glad that didn't happen in our ears, that lunch. I was like, oh no, we're not going there, are we?
Kate and Jakob have gone off to Bath. The last member of that family that went off to Bath was Alice, but she never went.
That's true.
She lied about being there. And when she got back, Peggy did a series of questions on her. Did you go to Royal Crescent? Did you go to Gay Street? Did you go to the market? Did you go to Walcott Street? And she was like, what? Started pooing
it's
her pants.
Pump house. What was that like, dear? F*** off.
It's the cannot be rehearsed, but spontaneously Kerry Peggy impression. You never know when it's coming.
Exactly. Nothing done on request.
No, exactly. Yes. All right, let's have a little break and let's have a little chat about talking horses and sexy Fallon.
This week on Borchester Facts Matter.
Facts matter.
We speak to the parents whose teenagers have been drawn into one of the darkest corners of the internet. Grundy Media.
My daughter used to come home, not speak to us, lock herself in her room and listen to Scandinavian death metal. Now she keeps showing us videos of old horses. I just don't know what to do.
For the last year, our daughter has been asking for money to go to Ibiza this summer. To be honest, we've been worried sick. But now, oh God, she's changed her mind.
And where does she want to go now?
A donkey sanctuary with its own amateur cricket team.
My boy used to be addicted to violent video games. Hours and hours blowing people's heads off. surrounded by empty fast food packages. The other day, I saw he'd gone down the garden shed and not come back. I got a bit worried, so I went to check on him.
Was he okay? What happened?
He was knitting a f***ing ferret.
If you or a loved one have been affected by Grundy Media, don't hesitate to call our helpline. 1-800-FERRET-FERRET. We're here to help.
Ferret!
Facts matter.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So Harrison, fresh from discovering he's still got a job, comes through the door this Friday and gets greeted immediately with an incredibly dirty daiquiri from Fallon.
Yes, I bet your ears pricked up, didn't they?
Something did.
Ears, yes. Your prick eared up.
Yeah. And he was like, she was like, I was going to pick a movie, but then I thought we could just go to bed and have sex instead. And he was like, okay, maybe I'll go and slip into something more comfortable. Imagine him re-emerging in a hedgehog onesie. But it was to no avail, because who calls round?
Gooseberry Robert.
Robert the cock blocker. Here he is. I love that little.
Cop blocker.
Cop, yeah. I'm here to, increase community vigilance. And our powers of observation are not always, yeah. They could be. And Harrison's like, yeah, I quite agree, actually. I mean, at that point, I'm thinking they're both sat there in gimp suits and, you know.
Totally naked.
Chained to each other. And Robert's just dildos in their hands.
Harrison's got like nipple clamps on.
He's just wittering on about neighborhood watch and doorbell cams.
Yeah, we've got to really pay more attention. No, he's not northern, is it? We've got to pay more attention. He said to body language and so on.
Yeah, and it's Fallon, if only. It was a great scene.
It was, wasn't it? I think the Robert actor was really good. And it was his birthday, and there was a Stroganoff crisis. I thought the Stroganoff crisis was written by John le Carré, is it not?
Linda's having a Stroganoff crisis, and over at Fallon and Harrison's place, they're having a Avenitoff crisis.
Oh, I'm sure they made up for lost time the minute Robert trotted off to Linda, who actually, she said, because of the crisis, he had another hour, didn't he, with them, and they just got him on the daiquiris. So maybe Robert joined in. Robert joined in on his birthday present. It's a threesome with Harrison and Fallon.
They were whispering to each other, weren't they? And Fallon was like, what do you think? And he went, it's your call. So maybe they did. The last thing I'm pretty sure I heard Robert say was, I'd love a cock tail.
Yeah. The next scene will be Linda coming round because Robert hasn't appeared and speaking to Harrison and going, what's that familiar smell? Well, we have been cooking. No, it's not that. It's not that. I smell the scent of Robert.
Yes, it's denim. I can recognize. I know that anywhere. What else did we have tonight? Well, we've got Mr. Eddie, the talking horse.
The talking horse, of course.
Good Lord.
That was poor, wasn't it? Although, what's his face? George, he was kind of saying about his silly old channel that, you know, they're not going to keep watching updates on an old horse forever, are they? At last, he's finally realised.
Yeah, he's like hemorrhaging viewers.
And so Eddie's suggestion was, I mean, as soon as he mentioned Animal Magic, did you used to watch Animal Magic or is that before your time?
I did watch Animal Magic. There's like three people that I always bunch together in my mind is David Bellamy, Johnny Morris and Derek Griffiths.
Yeah, Derek Griffiths was lovely, wasn't he? Yeah, so the Animal Magic theme tune immediately popped into my brain. Do you remember it?
I don't. I always think of the Wild Track theme tune, which is also in Midnight Cowboy, which isn't.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, well, Animal Magic is that one that goes... Do you remember?
I'll name that tune in 27.
With loads of strings.
Okay, I'll take your word for it. I obviously used to watch it.
What's the one you're on about then?
The Wild Track theme tune. It's actually featured on this podcast about Harrison.
Do it.
That one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that was a bit, I was a bit old for that program, but I can remember. Yeah. Now that you've started singing it.
Yeah.
How did that appear in Midnight Cowboy?
It's just quite a famous piece of music. And I think Wild Track picked it up afterwards and used it. It is existing soundtrack material from that movie.
Oh. Strange little crossover that, isn't it?
Yeah. Wild Track were in our back garden once when I was a kid filming foxes. Because the whole BBC Wildlife unit is in Bristol, so.
They didn't do talking foxes.
I don't think our foxes talked, no.
Well, did you not do voices for them?
No. Okay. I used to get woken up by them regularly at night because they make hell's noise at night.
Yeah, we have them here. It's like someone being murdered.
I think the first time I knowingly heard it, I thought a baby was in the back garden at about 4 a.m, which didn't make any sense. And then, helpfully, my parents got a security light at the back of the house, but they gave me a Habitat cane blinds. So this foxes would always set this light off and my room would light up like a police helicopter coming in.
Oh, we put horrible smelly stuff in our garden to keep the foxes away.
Oh, I don't think we ever tried to do anything to discourage them. I was quite, there were always loads around where we grew up. So there was a huge panic about it about 10 years ago in London, wasn't there? Because those foxes got into that kid's bedroom and were actually in the cradle.
Yes.
It's been largely divulged since that they were actually only interested in eating the shitty nappy and they were ignoring the baby completely.
Oh, yes, I remember that story. Yeah. It actually sort of got through the window, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Oof. And then there was a period of people kind of saying, I walked home from the pub last night and saw a fox. Almost didn't make it.
They're beautiful. I love seeing them trotting around the streets. Really nice to look at. I just don't want to hear them.
You wouldn't see them in the urban areas here in Porto. You'd see them out in the sticks in the villages, but not.
All right.
Not kind of around here. Mind you, a lot of people keep chickens in their back garden, so I wouldn't be at all surprised if they do make the occasional visit. Before we have a little chat about our socials and our lovely supporters and all of that, let's have a little final word from our sponsors and then we'll be back.
Dear Cider Shed listener, we are inviting you to be part of our exclusive offer, the Ultimate Planner for the Coming Year, the official Odette Calendar 2025. Start your journey with us in January as we see Harrison getting told off by Odette for destroying evidence that Susan sold woodbines to kids in the village shop. Spring is upon us in April, as we see Odette and our lovable village Bobby having an off-the-record chat about him tying up Marky with piano wire in the cellar of the bull and forcing him to listen to Jolene singing. In July, we see Odette giving God's Cop a verbal warning for helping supply Fallon with high-grade LSD from the evidence cupboard so she can cook a batch of space quiches for the Laurels. And then in a touching snow scene to melt the heart, we see Odette and Sergeant Burns parting ways as his final written warning is issued for wrongful arrest of Robert for continually turning up at his house with a village petition or some other crap and ruining sex night. If you order now using the code BadgerFerretFerret, you'll also receive the perforated stainless steel kitchen bowl everyone is talking about, the Odette Calendar Colander. Don't miss out. Police yourself next year with the Odette Calendar Calendar 2025. Warning, purchases of the Odette Calendar Calendar 2025 requires you to sign 10 blank confession statements at Borchester Nick. Legal counsel not required.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas.
I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
If you want to get in touch with us on Facebook, you can find us. We have a group called the Cider Shed Podcast. A couple of people got in touch on there in relation to our episode that we did where we filled in the blanks. Viv said, great episode, guys. Stuart got in touch to say, I am Stuart Anthony, but known to many as Stew Dog.
That's like Gladiator, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Or Princess Bride. He doesn't say, yes. You killed my father, prepare to die at the end of that. But he posted the photo of him in his Stew Dog hat. Yeah. Oh. And Mandy McCartney said, carry on the goon bag, in brackets, box wine. We had that conversation off air, didn't we? I didn't say goon bag on air. Can't wait.
Oh, yeah, but she knows what it's called. Yeah. Clearly. Nickname. Yeah.
Megan Eliza Stott has sent us some badger beers, which are different to the badger beers that some. We're going to do a badger photo dump on our Instagram, which is at the Cider Shed Pod as well.
Oh, hi Megan.
Courtney loved the latest edition of Film Warbis. And he sent a version of the poster of American Psycho in which he's replaced the title of the movie to Corporate Psycho Person.
I want to see that. And yeah, Courtney and I are probably, if we can work out dates, going to go for a beer in London in the month of April. If he can put his Lego down for a few minutes. Oh, that's good.
So yeah, as I said, we've got an Instagram, which is at the Cider Shed Pod. That's what we are on Twitter as well, isn't it, Kerry?
It is, at the Cider Shed Pod on Twitter. Lots of laughs on there. And we're at the cidershedpod.bsky.social on Blue Sky as well.
Now, if you want to support us, one way you can do it is on Patreon. You can go to www.patreon.com/thecidershed. We had our Easter episode, which came out, a mighty hour and 10 minutes that was. We had some feedback on that. Nina said...
God, that was long. Is that what she said?
No. Kerry, when you were trying to remember Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it took me back to when I was a teenager asking my mum to video it for me on a good old VHS tape. Obviously not the tape that had mum's tape, do not use soldier/Tenko written on it. She dutifully videoed it for me and wrote on the tape, Billy and Bobby's Fun Day.
That's pretty much exactly what I said. I can see why that reminded you of it.
Robin Ben said, what a good episode and how kind of you to make it during your holidays. A very happy Easter to everyone and to you, Robin. Backdated. Aww. Michelle White said, thank you so much. I really appreciate all you do. It must be a lot of work for you. Hope you have a lovely Easter and enjoy the football. I haven't been enjoying football much recently, Michelle, to be honest. Kerry has. Mandy Belshaw stepped in and said, stop being so polite, you peeps. That was a fucking awesome episode. I'm snorting around the garden with my lawnmower. Is a cheese egg Ooh. Just a vertical baby bell?
These are the philosophical questions we ruminate over in the wee small hours.
Dave Howard said, I hate to be pedantic, in brackets. No, I don't. The Overton window is the range of political positions that are considered acceptable to the electorate. Political positions outside of the window are considered and referred to hard or extreme left or right. The Overton window moves back and forth and changes width. Nationalisation, for instance, is often thought of as an extreme strategy. Not by me, obviously. So with that sorted, I'm off to tug on a donkey. In brackets, great episode.
Badger!
See, I knew you were wrong, Matthew, which is what threw me.
Excuse me, Kerry, because I followed up. What did I say? Didn't I say the parameters of ideas within which you can govern acceptably?
Badger!
So I was vaguely there, kind of. Better than Kerry, who thought it was a window in Hampshire.
I thought it was the Rose window. Oh, no, yeah. That was the York Minster, wasn't it?
And Dave has replied, to be fair, if I must, that does mean the same thing, but I heard it more as a set of rules or practices.
Badger!
Kerry is effortless comedy gold. Thank you for a brilliant episode.
Kerry is effortless. That's just... full stop. Yeah.
Vivian said, great stuff, guys, but AI limited in that I'm now shouting at you and you can't hear. Yeah, I meant, where is Dan now? Alistair, also known as Dad, never mentions him. And she said, having listened back to that 2014 Easter episode, at 40 minutes, Natasha is mentioned as ready to do hair. But didn't she have a line in skincare, etc. at one time? I don't reckon it's the same Natasha then. It's
Yes, I knew it. I knew there was a Natasha doing hair. Now, which one? I'm not sure of. But...
Because she used to do skincare and beauty, didn't she, as Viv points out, before she got into juices and shacking up with Tom.
It's funny that you can't possibly ever have characters that have the same first name in any of the environs, isn't it? Never mentioned.
I'm like Kerry. Seen loads of movies, but rubbish with rubbish with coats? Never work in a cloakroom in the cinema then, Viv. Rubbish with quotes. Except for Casablanca, which I can virtually quote word for word. By the way, she wrote it right. I just read it wrong. Looking forward to your next episode. Kiss. Thanks, Viv. And Lynn Bird says, I know we're all laughing, so it's only fair that Kerry gets to ask Matthew to name some films from film lines, as it seems to be a specialist subject. Might need the Mastermind theme tune.
Yes, Matthew. I might get my revenge.
Oh, you can, but I don't want a load of bloody Ealing commoners.
I'm not saying that'll be what it is.
The whole point is that these movies are like household names from the 70s, 80s and 90s, and you don't know any of them. I'd be willing to take the challenge of naming movies from the same era.
Okay, well, right, yes, we've got to do this, Matthew. We have to do this because you just saying them, like I mentioned, is not the same as the, like hearing the snippet of the actor saying them. You wait till I'm saying some 80s film lines to you.
All right, I'll take that challenge because I feel like I was acting them pretty well in the last episode of Patreon, this is.
You'll just cheat and type it into Google.
No, I won't. I never do that. I would not do that. So, if you want to listen to Film Morbis, Village or Chittage, Swindon Tales of the Unexpected, all of those silly things take place on our midweek specials when we loosen up a little bit.
It's just a couple of quid a month.
It is. You get these episodes early and you also get those midweekers as well. Plus anything else we think of doing. We've got 6 new patrons, Kerry.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So first up, show our appreciation. Joe Avi, I think is Avizon, but here we go.
Welcoming Joe Avizon
into the Cider Shed Patreon. Many thanks. We are delighted to have you. Please help yourself to any midweek specials that take your fancy.
Cheers, Joe. Thank you so much for all your help. I was in a bit of a synth mood this week. That will become apparent. Stew Dog.
Hey there, Stew Dog. Who's a good boy? That's right. You are. Thanks for becoming a Cider Shed patron. Hope you're okay with
badges.
Thank you, Stew Dog. Kerry thinks you're a wrestler. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Beth Purnell.
Badger.
Beth Purnell, welcome to the Cider Shed patron. What an absolute pleasure. Thank you for all your help.
Badger, hush up.
The badgers are getting heavier and more frequent.
Yeah, it's a real backward badger then. A hushup. Thanks, Beth. Next up, we have Janie.
Welcome, Janie. Badger, please. Make yourself at home in the Cider Shed Patreon Clubhouse. Badger. We're so happy to have you. Badger. Thanks for your support. Badger. Badger. Badger.
Oh, thanks, Janie.
Thanks, Janie. Much appreciated. Glamorous Glennis.
Badger. Roll out the red carpet. Raise the velvet rope.
Here's Glamorous Glennis rocking up at the Cider Shed Patron.
Thanks for your support, Glennis. We really appreciate it.
Badger.
Thanks, Glennis. Glamorous Glennis. Much appreciated. Mm-hmm. And finally, Fiona Miller.
Fiona Miller. You are most welcome here with us.
In the Cider Shed Patreon.
Pull up a soft chair.
Scroll back through our midweek specials.
Especially the gossipy ones.
But most of all,
enjoy yourself. Thanks so much for your support, Fiona.
Okay, cheers, Fiona. Thank you so much. Thanks to everyone who has joined our Patreon in recent times or in aged times. We are very appreciative for all of the help. It really takes a lot of the stress out of the time that goes into it, and can't thank you enough. Kerry, another way people can support us is by writing a review. Am I correct?
You are very correct, Matthew. Always correct. Yes, we've got a bloody marvellous new 5-star review from Lewis Cardiff, who has written "Who Knew? Crying Laughing Emoji" as the title. And Lewis says, "I'm a 51-year-old guy that quite frankly does not admit to listening to the Archers outside of close family members. I stumbled across this podcast and it now makes me finish the week's episode so I can listen to it on a Saturday. Love how they take the proverbial out of the show's characters and events, which have me rolling with laughter. Keep up the good work. Okay with the hand type thing emoji."
Oh, lovely. Someone else that we're just helping them get through the Archers bit by bit.
Yeah.
I feel like we're doing good work when we do that.
It's a public service, isn't it?
We're like your buddy. We're the Alice to your Harry.
Yeah, we are, to this weird addiction that everyone has.
Do you know, Kerry, something we haven't mentioned for a while because of international breaks, etc., the Cider Shed Fantasy Football Podcast League. So people that hate it can turn off now. So things have been shaken up a bit towards the top of the table. Kerry FC, 11th place. In 10th, Max FC, Max Warbis Wand. Why can't I say your family's names? Max Warbis Mansfield is in 10th. Andrew Marchetti in number 9th with Obi-Wan Kenobi nil. James Goldstone with Grealish's Anatomy in 8th. James Scott is now in 7th with FC James.
He must be on a holiday or something, not paying attention.
He's on the beach.
There's something going on there. Yeah.
Anna D is in 6th place with Offside. Chris Charlton is in 5th. Things can only get better. Jethro Hallett in 4th with Bounce Back Ability. In 3rd, Audrey Cameron, below pars. In 2nd, Alistair Sheldrick with Bayern Never Losing. And Nat Ogle is in 1st place, 4-4 Poo. They are immovable at the moment. Nat Ogle and Alistair Sheldrick.
Now, Nat Ogle, we wonder whether he was a listener or not.
You looked him up, didn't you?
I've looked up a Nat Ogle. Yeah. And he's some sort of writer person. Well, it's the only Nat Ogle I could find. We have asked Nat Ogle, do get in touch to let us know whether you do listen. And he hasn't replied. So I think he may well just be, he's a fiction writer. He may well just be someone who loves doing Fantasy Football League. And he thought, oh, that looks like a league I can win.
I'm down to 18th, Russ of the Rovers. Towards the bottom of the table, in 39th, David Hall with Weetabix United. Kay Guyden, Farm Fumblers, this is going down. Audrianne, help me out with the surname, Kerry.
Covarrubias.
That's it. With Ace of the Sever Team. She changed the team name.
I think possibly. I don't know. That doesn't ring a bell.
In 41st place. Rob Williams with Grundy Pants, holding steady. No movement in the bottom four, by the way, so you've got...
I wonder why.
42nd, Rob Williams, Grundy Pants. 43rd, Nimrod Pleasure Beach Friday. 44th, Peter Fickling, One Star Review. And keeping him from bottom, Emily Crew with The Ballad of Bowen. So Emily ignored my pleas to help with the team.
Yeah, the points difference is only sort of 20 or something. Come on, Emily.
No, it's bigger than that now. It's about 70 something.
Oh, it is, isn't it? Oh, yeah. Oh, shit.
Kay Guyden told me that she'd lost the password for her team. She's in 40th.
She's in what?
She's in 40th.
Ah, right. Okay. Oh, bless. I'm sure there's a reset password option, Kay.
Yeah.
And you've gone up.
Yeah, she has, yeah. Despite having no access to the team. All right, everyone. Thanks for being with us this week. It's lovely to be back. And we will see you next week.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Bidding, bing, bidding, bing, bing, bidding, bing, bidding, bing, bap, 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 bidding, bing, bidding, bap, 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 biddle, little, little,
bibbidi, bidibi. They don't make them like that anymore, do they? I don't like bottom.
Badger!
I don't like bottom.
Badger!